Today, I'm going to show you how to unlock your entrepreneurial spirit.
Hey guys, I'm David Mitchell, founder and CEO of Tradeway. What if God himself gave you a blueprint for how to handle your money? Well, the Bible is a practical book. Let's dive in and see what it has to say about wealth, about risk, about leverage, and about investing, and uncover how trading in the stock market can be a powerful tool for moving towards your biggest goals. We're so happy you're here. This is The Word on Investing.
I'm going to cover four major points to help you guide your family towards chasing down the most important part of why America became the greatest economy in the world. It's the entrepreneurial spirit. If you lock into these principles, it will give you the potential to change your family's financial destiny for generations. So here's the first point. Understand risk is a good thing, not a bad thing. Now remember the story of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 17. I know that the world has taught us that risk is a bad thing all through the school system. Risk is bad, security is good, seek security. Well, that means you're going to work for the government or get a job or whatever. It means you're not going to get the leverage that God says in the Bible that you need in order to have potential to create wealth. So if we listen to the world, it just totally destroys this principle of wealth creation in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 25, starting with verse 14, you've read it. You probably had it in Sunday school as a kid. It's the parable of the talents. The landowner was wealthy and he was going away for a while. So he gave some of his wealth to three different individuals. The first one he gave five talents, and this is money, by the way. It's not like spiritual gifts. It's money, okay? It's actual money. Maybe it represents spiritual gifts, but that's another. Your Sunday school teacher already taught you that, right? So today we're going to talk about what the parable actually physically is saying. One man got five talents. That's money. The second man got two. The third one got one. Now you remember the story. The first two doubled the money, and they were blessed. They took risk. And it was educated risk. Apparently, they already knew how to invest. And they doubled the money. And they were blessed for it. Now, what about that third one, though? He apparently didn't have any skill sets. He didn't take any risks, so he buried the talents in the ground. When the owner came back, he took them all to task. And he blessed the first two, as I said earlier. But that third one, what did he do? He really punished him, and he rebuked him. And he took what little he had and gave it to the highest earner. That shows in God's mind, he loves educated risk. He does not like not having skill sets and taking no risk. I mean, this world, by the time we came out of the Garden of Eden, and that did not surprise God, by the way, part of God's grand plan, because Jesus was crucified from before the foundation of the world, the scripture says. So part of his grand plan included the fall, but it also included risk. Because risk came with that. Now, that's found in everything in life. It's found in family. It's found in dating. It's found in getting married. It's found in having children. There's risk in everything good. So risk is a good thing, right? So in business, it's certainly good, and we're all taught to avoid it. It really makes it difficult to be an entrepreneur. That's kind of what we're talking about today. Now, I want to take you to the Old Testament in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, starting with verse 1. It says this, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the face of the earth." This is talking about diversification of assets. If you really look into it and you understand the Hebrew mind, it's saying, look, don't put all your eggs in one basket, okay? Because you don't know what's going to happen in the future, so diversify properly, not too much, but not too little. In verse 4 says, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." Now, there is your risk-return trade-off in the Bible. God, the creator of the universe, who certainly created economics and finance and all these concepts, he shows us a hint of how it works right there in the scriptures. He shows us that if a farmer goes out to sow his seeds, and all of a sudden he sees a cloud and he says, it might rain today, I'm not going to do it. And he keeps doing that. He's never going to risk the sowing of the seed. He has to take a little bit of risk that it might rain too much and ruin his crop. He has to take that risk or he'll never have a crop. You see the principle. This is called the risk-return trade-off. It's in every finance class that you'll ever take. It's in the MBA programs across the world, but it came from the Bible right there. There's where it came from. So the risk return principle is right there in the Bible, which I've said so many times is the oldest book on the planet that contains authoritative economic and financial principles that work. Okay. Now, if you go down to verse 6, the second part says, "For thou knowest not whether you will prosper either this or that, whether they both shall be alike good." So here again, now God's going back to talking about diversification, and he gives the reason for it. You don't know what's going to happen in the future. Only God knows that. So God himself says, because of this, you need to properly diversify. But you can't do that if you're unwilling to take risk at all, right? So you have to take a business risk to put your funds into different investments in order to have a return. Now, God will bless it if it's educated risk. That's what Tradeway is all about, by the way, to help you with that education. So keep that in mind. Now, Proverbs 11:24, we see the risk-return trade-off again in Scripture. It says, "There is that person who scatters and yet increases, and there is that person that withholds more than is fitting, but it tends to poverty." Okay, so that Scripture talks about a person who takes his money and he scatters it into different investments and it comes back with an increase. That's called the profit, the return, right? He took a risk, he threw it out there, but it's educated. He knows where he's putting it. He studied where to put it, and it comes back with extra money. That's the return. And then there's a person who withholds more than is fitting. Like he keeps his money in a barn in the biblical viewpoint of that. He keeps his money in his savings account where it can be absolutely what he thinks is the safest. That's another topic, by the way. That's not particularly safe, but that's what he does. And he keeps it there and he will not invest it. And the Bible says that tends to poverty. That is the risk-return trade-off in the Scripture. Okay, so the first point was understand that risk is a good thing, not a bad thing, because God says so. Okay, now let's look at the second point. Understand the idea of educated risk. Now, when you think about it, in science, we always do things every day and take advantage of things every day that actually the scientific world created for us. For example, you get on an airplane. You don't think about the fact that once that was a hypothesis that this might work, okay? If we could put a motor on here and put wings on it, it might fly. It's a hypothesis. Now, what does that mean in science? It means an educated guess. What about the drugs you take when the doctor sends you a drug to fix something? Guess what? At one point, that was a hypothesis that might cure the disease you have. It might. It's an educated guess. And we just live with that all the time. But the world has taught us to be so risk averse when it comes to our finances that we're not willing to take an educated risk. Now, by that, I mean you get the skill sets. If you're going to trade in the stock market, you go out to Tradeway.com and you learn how to do it right. That's what it's all about. You learn the proper skill sets first. Then you take the risk. That's the kind of risk that God is pleased with. Now, let's look at Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3. "Through wisdom is a house built, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall thy chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases in strength." What does that tell us? It tells us that the skill sets, the knowledge, the understanding in the Bible terminology, skill sets, that's how we make an educated risk. God blesses that. He says, get wisdom, get knowledge, get understanding about a thing. And he says the result of that will be that your chambers will be filled with precious and pleasant riches. I love it how the world wants Christians to think it's evil to try to pursue wealth or to make money. The Bible doesn't indicate that. In fact, God calls it a blessing. And if you understand, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I will say this. If you understand where it really comes from, you'll understand that it's a blessing, okay? So God wants to bless his children. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. Doesn't that show you that if you learn to create wealth for your family, it's like putting a moat around your castle, and your castle is your family. It protects against things in the world. Now, it's not just the money protecting you. It's God who gave you the money. It's God who gave you the blessing that enabled you to get the money. This is what the Bible teaches about family finances in reality. All right, so, well, we learned what a hypothesis is, an educated guess. So in stock trading, for example, we take an educated risk. In any kind of business, you do that. The folks at Tradeway are going to help to teach you how to trade stocks like professionals. And it's all based upon probability math, getting the math in your favor. It's not rocket science. It's skill sets. It's based upon educated risk. Now, the second point was understand the idea of educated risk. Here's the third point. Understand in the Bible that a wage earner is the lowest rank right next to slave in the economic world. Let me say that again. A wage earner, a person who works for a boss and makes a paycheck, was the lowest rank right next to slave. The entrepreneur in the Bible is the highest rank, and that, in many cases, was a farmer. Sometimes it was a businessman or a merchant. But that was the end game. Well, the same is true today. It's just we're not taught this. Our families don't teach us this anymore. It's not passed down from generation to generation like it used to be and like it should be today. We're sent off to college to learn something that no one in the family's ever done, right? That is not the right way. That's not the Bible way. So since we don't understand this, today we think that the job is the end. And really, the Bible says it's the means to an end, and the end is owning your own business someday. That way you get the leverage that the scripture talks about in that parable we mentioned at the front of this. So you've got to have leverage. You have to be able to earn off the efforts of many other people. What we at Tradeway do is we teach you how to leverage the mind, the money, and all the ideas and all the work and hours of work that the people on Wall Street do. And leveraging them gives you the potential to make money for your family. Now, that key word leverage is so important. I've said it so many times. It's God's Roman numeral one for wealth creation, and there is no Roman numeral two. Okay, there may be some A, B's, and C's. No Roman numeral two. Leverage. You have to earn a little off the efforts of many people to create wealth. You can't do it with your own time. That's why it's so sad that the whole nation has been so powerful in teaching us the wrong thing for the last 75 years, is that we go to school, go to college, however high you want to go, to get an education, to work for a boss. So now you got 8 hours a day to make money and you're never going to create wealth. I don't care if you're an engineer, a doctor, a lawyer, it doesn't matter. All of those come to Tradeway meetings to learn how to gain leverage because they can't do it trading their hours for even a larger paycheck that they may get, but they're not creating wealth. That's why they come to us. So think about it. You've got to have leverage. So let me give you an example. There was a time, I don't know, a couple, 3 or 4 years ago, and I had this in one of my PowerPoints, so I remember it. Bill Gates added about $57 billion to his wealth in 1 year. I mean, that added to his wealth. That's not how much total he had. He added that much in a year. That was in the Forbes 400 billionaire list that year. Now, think about $57 billion in a year. Now, let's say you make $80,000 a year. And you probably make more than that, but let's say a person makes $80,000 a year. How long would it take a person at that rate of salary to create $57 billion? What do you think? Guess. What do you think? Well, you want to know what it is? 720,000 years. More than 500,000 years to earn the wealth he made in 1 year. Now, how did he do it? He's got the same number of hours in a day as you do. 8 hours of work a day, and that's it. He's earning 8 hours a day times 100,000 people that work for him or more. I don't know how many. But think about it. He earns a little bit of profit off of hundreds of thousands of people that work for him every 8 hours of every day, and he makes all that money, not just what he can make. And that's leverage. The Bible teaches it. Do you remember the man that went on the trip and he came back and that last person who buried the money and he got rebuked? Well, the man asked him, why'd you do that? And he said, two reasons. He said, because you're an austere man. In other words, you look serious. But number two, you reap where you sowed not. There's your leverage principle. He reaped a crop where he didn't sow the seeds. Other people sowed seeds on thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of acres. And he earned a little profit. He paid them a great wage, I'm sure, but he earned a little profit off all their man hours. That's what you do. So Tradeway is going to teach you how to leverage the people on Wall Street, their time, their money, their ideas. It's really, really powerful. So go out to Tradeway.com and check that out. Now, you know, I would rather try to make that money in less than 500,000 years, wouldn't you? So we got to learn how to do leverage. So our third point was all about that. Understand in the Bible that the wage earner was the lowest rank next to the slave. The entrepreneur was the key person, and that entrepreneur has the advantage of leverage. If you work for a paycheck, you don't have that advantage. I'm not saying a job is bad, but it's the means to an end. It's not the end. Okay, here's the fourth and final point. Understand whose business it really is when you own a business. Understand whose money it really is when you have money. It's God's. Okay, now this really helps if you feel you have a low risk tolerance and you want to build an entrepreneurial spirit because you weren't born with one. This will help you be able to embrace educated risk when you understand it's not your business, it's God's. He's going to be in it with you. He loves doing things with his children. So it's a family business with you and God, God your father, and you're his child, and you're working together. And when you understand that concept, you're not on your own. You've got God there working with you every day. It takes away a lot of the fear of risk because it's not risk with God. And he led you to start this thing, right? Okay, so let's think about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 kind of shows this in the scripture. For we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. Now, I want you to think about that because most preachers will relate that to, well, you all need to be in the ministry. So I guess that means we're all called to preach, right? So we're going to all be ministers. That is not what it's talking about. This is talking about every individual human being that knows the Lord and walks with him. We're laborers together with God in whatever he has you doing, not just preaching. I mean, I'm a businessman slash preacher. Okay, great. I'm glad God called me to do that. It is wonderful life. I love my life. But even before I was saved, I was a businessman and God had me doing that. And I didn't even know him yet personally, but he knew me, right? So he put me in that direction. And then when he saved my soul in the car driving to work one day, when I was 24 years old, and later he called me to preach and he showed me how to keep the businesses going by having really smart people, many of them in my family, who actually I delegate, train people to be like me and then delegate it to them. And all that can keep going and I can still pastor a church. The Lord taught me that little by little through the years. So that's how I labored together with God. But I've understood the whole time in the business world, I don't separate that from God or from church. We don't separate secular and sacred in the church we go to, the church I pastor. It's just all one thing. If you can't do it with God, just don't do it. If you can't do this business with Jesus, just don't do it. Because really, you should be doing it together with him and actually realize it's his business. It's not yours. And he's the one that brought you into it. So the scripture there says we are laborers together with Christ. It's a little prefix soon in the scripture, and it means together with whatever the next word is. So that's what it means. Together with Christ, together with God, we are laboring. And boy, when we understand that, it helps so much. It works because there is an ancient prototype. The whole idea of the family business, we've talked about this in the past many times, how my great-grandfather got us in the oil business and took us from poverty to wealth. And then my grandfather made it better. My dad made it better. He taught me the skill sets of all three of those generations, and I taught four generations to my kids and now the grandkids. See, that's the Bible way. I was fortunate to be brought up in a family business. So when I got saved, started studying the Bible, and especially called to preach, and started studying theology, I saw the idea of the family business everywhere in Scripture and all these financial principles. But you can't do that if you don't have a business where you can teach the kids the skill sets and the grandkids the skill sets and pass that down. And that's what gives the Bible way of generational wealth creation. So Tradeway wants to help you do that. We can help you do it by taking a stock trading business and teach that to your kids and your grandkids. There's other ways to do it, but that's one way we teach. So why does this idea of the family business work so well? It's because there's an ancient prototype of it. What is it? It is the Father and his son, Jesus, the only begotten son of God. In John chapter 5, verse 19, it says, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the father do. That's what he does, right? For what things soever the father does, these also doeth the son likewise. For the father loves the son and shows him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickens them, brings them to life, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. So here we see God the Father sharing in his family business with his Son, and this was the business of salvation, right? So what about us? Well, in John 15:5, look what Jesus says. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. That's talking about how a fruitful life, right? Not just spiritual fruits, but a fruitful life. For without me, you can do nothing. So everything that we do, we're doing together with Christ. Why? He's bringing us into the family business. You have the Father, you have the Son, you have us. And the Holy Spirit ties us all together once we're saved, right? And so John 20:19 says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side, and then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Now he sent us out to do the same job the Father sent him to do. So we're all part of the family business also. This is the ancient precursor of the idea of the family business. This is why it works. It's Bible methodology. So family is what life is all about. This is why you need time freedom. So you have more time to spend with your spouse, with your kids, with the Lord. It is all the Lord's family. It is the Lord's family business. We get to work together with him and each other every single day. We don't trade in our family. We don't trade our time for another man's money. We leverage the people on Wall Street. We leverage their time, their money, their minds, their ideas for the benefit of our family. And you can leverage their time, their minds, and their money as well. We're going to show you how at Tradeway. Well, we're about out of time. So, hey, go out to tradeway.com/guide. That's tradeway.com/guide. We're going to give you something free. It's a free guide on how to get started with your stock trading. And remember, these are skills you can teach your children and your grandchildren, and it gives you potential to create generational wealth. And I hope you have a great day. We will see you next time.